The reading today is taken from Ruth chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the deed with his property, so that his name will not disappear from the, Mahlon's wife as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram, the father of Aminadab, Aminadab, the father of Nashon, Nahshon, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, Boaz, the father of Obed, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of the Lord.
So, Hugh Grant meets Martin McCutcheon. Which film? As everyone knows, surely. They meet, and there are sparks. They have a bit more interaction, and there's more sparks. And you think, ooh, what's going to happen? Then he sees her with that nasty president of the United States in a compromising position. He gets fed up and chucks her out. Then he realizes his mistake. He rushes all the way around London just before Christmas in, I don't know how he does it in the time. They meet up and they have that kiss, which becomes visible to the whole of the school. And everybody claps. And you think, ah, a great rom-com. But is that what we've got today? We reach the end of our ramble through Ruth, and it's been an emotional journey for us, following Ruth's decision to be with Naomi and acknowledge God as her Lord. But will this be like any good rom-com with a happy ending or not? Will there be that element of jeopardy, that point in the story where everything looks like it's going to fall apart? Will the hero and the heroine of the story get together and the credits roll? Last week, Ben gave us a recap of where we got to in the story, and I'm going to do the same, but in a different way. It's always different when Ben does it to anyone else that does it. There was famine in Judah. Naomi and her family moved out to live in Moab, a traditional enemy of Judah. Naomi's husband and her two sons die, leaving her alone in a foreign country with her two Moabite daughters-in-law. She is destitute and decides to return to Judah, where there is now food and her family support network. She tells both her daughters to return to Judah, she tells both of her daughters-in-law to stay at home with their families, but Ruth insists on following Naomi and accepting her God as her Lord. Ruth goes out into the fields to collect grain in order that she and her mother can have something to eat, and by some amazing God incidence, finds herself in the fields owned by a relative of hers, Boaz. Last week we heard from Ben about the blanket issue on the threshing floor with Boaz and Ruth and the kinsman redeemer element of the story. And finally, Naomi gives us the perfect lead-in to today's message, saying, let us wait and see what happens. I thought it was a great ending to last week's reading. Let us wait and see what happens. And so we go into our final episode. Everyone's had their hot popcorn, they've had their ice cream, and this is it, the final bit. A kinsman redeemer, guardian redeemer, as we saw on the screens, is a male representative, male relative, who has the responsibility to help a relative in need or danger. This included paying off debts, avenging injustice, and guiding and helping them throughout their difficulties. In those days, there was no support for widows, so in the case of Naomi and Ruth, because they had both lost their husbands, there was little food and no support. Naomi was elderly and unable to do the physical work, so Ruth had to work for them both, getting scraps, gleaning in the field, as Nicole brilliantly demonstrated the other week. Bump, bump, bump. Most of it went in the basket, I'm sure. Women in those days had a really, really difficult time, essentially being treated as chattels, belongings, with few rights, including not being able to own land. Hence why Naomi, or Ruth, had to sell the land of her husband and owned. Although it would have been Ruth, now I guess, who owned the land, as Mahlon would have inherited it with Elimelech dying. So getting enough food was a huge challenge. But as we hear, Boaz had decided he wanted to marry Ruth. And that's where this piece of land came into the story. She could not own it. She was not allowed to own it. Land could only be owned by males. But there are legal matters to decide first, because there is a relative who is closer than Boaz, who has the legal right to purchase the land. But this would also include marrying Ruth and supporting Naomi and any future offspring. The further complications around this are that whoever should marry Ruth, and if they had children, then the ownership of the land in question, this bit of land that Naomi was selling, would continue in the name of the sons and not the buyer and his family. Boaz was obviously a respected member of the community. He could sit at the town gate and summon people to come and be part of this legal process. And he sat at the gate waiting for this closer relative to walk past. And when he did, he said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." And then he said to 10 leaders, "Come over here and sit down." He had a plan, and everything was very friendly. Boaz knew that he was next in line to obtain the property, but he had to get the agreement from the other relative, the closer relative. He begins by telling the relative that he is the kinsman redeemer, which I thought he would know, but perhaps he didn't. And he had first call on the land. And here we have that moment of jeopardy. Will this all fall through? Will the rom-com be duplicated? Will there be this point in the story where it all falls apart? And the nearer relative, being a sensible chap, says, "Yes, I'll have that land. I could do with that bit of land. I can grow some more crops on it and make more profits." But then Boaz reminds him that if he has the land, he'll also have to marry Ruth and support Naomi and any offspring. Oh no, there won't be any happy ever after. Sad faces all round. But the role of the kinsman redeemer is costly, as we've heard. And he did not want that cost in his life. He didn't want Naomi and Ruth. He only wanted the land. And he wasn't prepared to take on that extra cost. And he confirms to Boaz that as next in line, he can take up the role of kinsman redeemer and purchase the land and also acquire, that word, acquire, you acquire a woman. I mean, how awful is what? But acquire Ruth as his wife. Huge sigh of relief in the rom-com stakes. And here comes the part about the sandal. In those days, the transfer of land was curiously confirmed by the exchange of the sandal between two parties. And this goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 25, but also had to be witnessed by members of leadership of the town. So Boaz makes a speech which can leave no one in any doubt as to what the situation is. He says, "Today you are my witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that today his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are my witnesses. All part of Boaz's plan to make sure it was all legal and correct. He even brought his sandal along with him. The leaders confirmed the deal and blessed the marriage. And then there's that intimate moment at the end of the story as Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. He then went to her and the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. Roll credits, play uplifting music, and everyone says, ah. It's worth noting that Ruth had been married to Mahlon for 10 years, yet she was childless. But God blesses her and Boaz with a son shortly after marrying. This sort of detail illustrates how much in control God was in that line, preparing for the future. So before we pick up that last section of the passage, let's just review where we are at the moment and what it means for us today. Boaz knew that there was a cost to the path he was taking by purchasing the land and marrying Ruth. And that was a price he was prepared to pay. We need to be aware that our decisions should be based on a close prayerful relationship with God and of his plan for us. Jesus was the ultimate kinsman redeemer because he took on the cost of our sin by dying on the cross. And any price we might pay for following his way, for doing the right thing, pales into insignificance as to what Jesus paid. Continuing into the last section, the women of the town praised God on behalf of Naomi because she and Ruth have not been left destitute. And in this last little section, in section 14, where the kinsman redeemer is mentioned, it's not Boaz that they're talking about, but the child, Obed. Obed becomes the kinsman redeemer. And there's a prophecy that he will become famous throughout the land. And of course, he did, as shown by the genealogy at the end of the passage. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. So King David is the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz. And 27 generations later, the father of Jesus. That is some lineage, some time that God was preparing ahead. Now, this has been a ramble through Ruth, as we've heard. Now, the word ramble has two meanings. Firstly, a walk for pleasure. Secondly, a talk at length in a confused or inconsequential way. Well, I truly hope that Ben, Nicole, and I have not been the second one, and that you have enjoyed this series in this book of Ruth. And if you haven't yet done it, please start at chapter 1 and read it all the way through to the end of chapter 4. It's a lovely story, but got so much richness, which we haven't been able to touch on. It'll take you less than an hour to read through it all. Because it's not just a nice story. It shows God's preparations for the birth of his son and the importance of choosing to do the right thing, no matter what the cost. That's what Boaz did. Many of the traits we see in Boaz are reflected in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23, which we all can recount on the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those are seen in Boaz, and we should live by these traits too. We should be encouraged that God is at work in the world, and as he used Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, so he can and will use us if we just let him. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would allow you into our hearts by the power of your Spirit. That our decisions and our life will be based upon you, upon our relationship with you, and that you will lead us and guide us in your way, that you will bless us, that we can be a blessing to others, and that your kingdom will come into ours, into the world of this church, into this community, and into this world. We give ourselves to you, Lord. Come and lead us on in the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.